Tonight's shir is in Parshas Vayetze. Sedra begins, Vayetze Yachmi Beershova Vayela Harano. The Megali Amukos says the Rashi Tevas of Vayetze, Vayetze Yaakov, Vav Yud Sadik Aleph, is Vayar Yaakov Tsuras Aleph. That Yaakov saw the form of the letter Aleph. Obvious question is, what's going on here? So, Yaakov Avinu left Beersheba going to Haran, tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. Why? Because he was left as the home with his parents, with his illustrious father, mother, and he had to go to Lavan's house. Why? His parents said, you have to go to find your Shidduch, you have to go to Haran, you have to go to Chutzlaretz, you have to find your Shidduch. He didn't. It was not exactly his idea of fun. So, he went begrudgingly, but Mitzvah Kibud Avim, he went. Mesiras Nefesh. So, the letter Aleph is made up. When you write the letter Aleph, he saw the Tzuras Aleph. How do you write an Aleph? An Aleph is made like with a diagonal long line, and then a little foot on the top, a little foot on the bottom. Okay? Which is basically a little Yud on top. The big line is like a Vav, and a little on the bottom is another Yud. Yud, Vav, Yud. He says, Yud, Vav, Yud is, besides 26 in Gematria with Shem Hashem, Yud Vav Yud, as they say. But besides that, it's Rashi Tevis for Yud Vav Yud, Yahareg Ve'al Yavor, which is represents Mesiras Nefesh. Sometimes you have to give up your life for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yahareg Ve'al Yavor. Mimele fits in. Yaakov Avinu was leaving Beersheba and going with Mesiras Nefesh to Haran. Vav Yud, Yud Vav Yud, Yahareg Ve'al Yavor. Mimele, he saw the Aleph, he was going with Mesiras Nefesh. Also, it's interesting that the word Gemara, we learn Gemara, right? So what's Gemara? Some say it's Rashi Tevis for the four Malachim, right? Gimel is Gavriel, Mem is Michael, Reish is Raphael, and Aleph is Uriel, four Malachim. However, based on what we said, Gemara can be broken up to Gemar Aleph. Aleph, we said, is Yareg Val Yavor, Mesiras Nefesh. And a person, it's a hint that Gemara, you have to learn with Mesiras Nefesh. Gemar means to learn. Gemar Aleph, you have to learn Mesiras Nefesh. Similarly, we said that the Aleph is the Yud Vav Yud is 26 is Shem Hashem. Also, how do you mock your Kadosh Baruch Hu? Gemar Aleph. Aleph Hashem is Hashem. Alufa Shalom, it's also 26, is Hashem. In order to understand Hashem, to mock your Hashem, you have to learn Gemara. Gemara is Gemara Hashem, Gemara Aleph, Gemara Hashem. Okay. Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep and has his dream. Then Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso, he wakes up from his sleep. So the Midrash says, I'm a Rabbi Yochanan, Al Tikre Mishnaso, Ela Mi Mishnato. Don't say he woke up from his sleep, but he got up from his learning. Mimishnato, from his learning. What's the idea? So the Baal HaTurim says, simply, that Yaakov Avinu was learning in his sleep. He says, Lamad b'chalomo. He was learning in his sleep. Mele, also the Chidah, fits in very nice according to this. The Chidah says, the Pasuk said that Yaakov Avinu recalled, Achein yesh, Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anachi lo yadati. Meaning, why wasn't he sleeping the last 14 years when he was in Yeshiva Shem ve'Ever? Because he's like, Betel Torah. I'm not going to go to sleep. I could be learning at that time. Betel Torah. So Yaakov Avinu didn't go to sleep 14 years. Then he fell asleep over here, and he was learning in his dream, like the Baal HaTurim says. So Mela, what happened? He says, oh, achein yesh elokim hazeh v'anachi lo yadati. I didn't know that you can learn while you're sleeping. How'd I know that? I would have slept. I didn't sleep for 14 years. I thought it was Betel Torah. But achein yesh elokim hamakom hazeh. So you can learn while you're sleeping. V'anachi lo yadati. I didn't know that. I mean, the Ksav Sofer says something which is a little bit more down to our level. And he says, based on the concept of kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim, that everything a person does should be l'shem shamayim. What does that mean? Of course you have to take care of your needs, you have to eat, drink, sleep, whatever. But one should do so, l'shem shamayim, means you should have in mind, I'm not just eating because I'm hungry, I want to fill up my stomach. I'm eating so I have strength to serve Hashem, to be able to learn better. Sleep, you know, I'd like to stay up all the time and learn, but I can't. I need to get my koach, so I'm going to sleep so I can rest up so I can learn. So everything is done l'shem shamayim. That's how it should be. That's the ultimate. So mimele, comes out that when a person does so, even when he is eating and sleeping, etc., it's like he's learning. Because if he's doing it for the learning, so it's like part of the learning. Memele, that's what the midrash is saying over here. When Yaakov got up from his sleep, don't read sleep, ela learning. Meaning because they're one and the same. When one sleeps, if it's done l'shem shamayim, it's like he's learning. So getting up from his sleep is like getting up from your learning. It's a nice Chafetz Chaim. It's a similar idea, exactly, very similar, on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says over there, Rabbi Meir said over there that in batalta mina Torah, if a person mevatal Torah, yesh lecha betelim harbe kenegdecha. You have a lot of betelim against you. Being mevatal b'Torah, and if you're amal b'Torah, then yesh lo sachar harbe litena. Hashem has a lot of schar to give you. Chafetz Chaim says, I don't understand. What's this lot? Right? If you're Betalta, there's a lot of Betalim. And if you're Amal, there's a lot of... What do you mean, lot? It's not a matter of lot. It's what you did. If you're Mevat a little, you get a little. Little Betalim. If you're Mevat a lot, then you get a lot. Or learning also. If you're Amal a lot, you'll get a lot of Schar. You're Amal a little. What's this? You're Amal, you get a lot. I mean, don't just get a lot. What's this lot? You only get a lot if you did a lot. What's going on? So he says that if a person has some free time in his hand, and he takes advantage of it, and he says, "Oh, I have a couple of minutes. I'll hop around. I'll learn, take advantage of it." So then, what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu see? The Kodesh Baruch Hu sees that you, any second you have, you want to take advantage. You want to learn. Therefore, even when you're not learning, you really want to learn, since you can't. You're knownness. So therefore, I'm going to give you schar in those times as well, as if you're learning. Because I can see whenever you have a chance, you take advantage of it. So when you're eating and sleeping, you can't, what are you going to do? You have to eat and sleep. Say it, but I'm giving you schar for learning at that time, because I see that you'd love to be learning. You would learn if you only had the time. Mimela, that's the harbeh schar litenlach. That you're going to get a lot of schar, meaning not only for the learning, but also for all the other things you're doing as well. You're getting schar for learning, because you really would be learning if you could help it. So too, says the Chafetz Chaim, goes with the Betela, right? That if a person has some free time and he doesn't take advantage of it, then Harbei, he's going to get a lot of Betela, meaning that not only you're going to be punished for that you're Mevatel, the Torah, when you could be learning and you're not, but then Hashem says, I'm going to give you a lot of Betela, meaning all the time you're eating and sleeping, and there as well you're going to get punished because you're Betel Torah. Betel Torah, I have to eat and sleep. You have to eat and sleep. You're not eating and sleeping so you can learn. Right, and when you have some time, you're not learning. So Mela, all that's included in the myth. Okay, let's continue. We mentioned the pasuk Vayomer that Yaakov said, "Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, v'anochi lo yedati." And Rashi says, "If what I known, I wouldn't have slept over here." Chanukah Satora says, "What's the idea?" The Gemara says in the end of Brachas that when a person has a dream, a person dreams about what he thought about or has seen in the daytime and recently, whatever he's seen, that's what he dreams about. Okay, what's the right? That a person says doesn't dream about a elephant going through a pinhole. Why? Because that's not something that is a mitziistic thing. So you don't think about such things during the day. You don't see elephants going through pinholes, and mainly you're not going to dream about it. Okay, now tonight you might dream about an elephant going through a pinhole. Okay, I just told you about it. But pashas, you wouldn't dream about it. No. Okay, so Mele says the Chanukah Satorah, that's what Yaakov Avinu is saying. He says, oh, he said, Achein yesh el Hashem, the Hashem is b'makom hazeh. Right? How do I know that I'm not just having a dream that's something I saw during the day? V'anochi lo yadati. Because I wasn't thinking about it. V'anochi lo yadati. I wasn't thinking about it during the day. And yet I still saw Hashem, so that must mean that it's a real thing, a real dream. It's not something I thought of during the day. Reminds me, it was once Avreich, and he comes to Seder, it's Chavrusa in the morning, and he says, oh, you're not going to believe this. Tells Chavrusa, why? He says, Last night I spoke to Hashem. I had a dream, and Hashem came to me in my dream. Hashem came in my dream. So Chavrusa says, it's not a real dream. He says, what do you mean? It is. He says, no. He said, because I'll say that you only dream about things that you saw during the day. And therefore, that's what you dreamt. You know, it's Hashem, you know, because things are during the day. So he said, no, that's not it. He says, what do you mean? Why? He says, what do you mean? I didn't think about Hashem. I don't think about Hashem. I get up in the morning, I go davening, right? First thing, davening. Come back, I give a break to eat, and then I go learn all morning. I was thinking about Hashem. I come home, I eat a quick lunch, I go back to learning. Again, not thinking about Hashem. Then I come home and eat dinner, and then I go back to third Seder, not thinking about that. I don't think about Hashem at all. What do you mean? I wasn't dreaming about Hashem. Okay. After the dream, the pasuk says in Kaftes, beginning of Perek Kaftes, says Vayisa Yaakov Ragla Vayelech Arzav Bnei Kedem. So Yaakov literally lifted up his feet and he went to Arzav Bnei Kedem. So, question: What's this? He lifted up his feet. What does that have to tell us? He went to Arzav Bnei Kedem. Why does it say he lifted up his feet? So Yitzhak Volozhin says that, based on what we fits in very nice what we said before, the Yaakov Avinu was not crazy about the idea to going to have to go to Haran. So he begrudgingly went, and what do you do when you're like, you don't want to go somewhere, you have to go, you're like dragging your feet, you don't really want to go. So here he had to lift up his feet and go because it's a place that he didn't really want to go, but he had to because his parents told him that he must. One idea. The Griz Soloveitchik says that on the pasuk we said a little earlier, it says Vayifka b'makom, the Yaakov Avinu came to the place, and Rashi says, what's Vayifka b'makom? He says Kfitza Sederek, that he had Kfitza Sederek. Okay, meaning that the land, we'll see, you know, he had this, he quickly jumped, whatever, he came to this place, Har Moriah, where he had the dream. So therefore he says, right now he had Kfitza Sederek. He wasn't rocking normally. He had Kfitza Sederek. So now he finished with the dream, whatever, he's on his way. Therefore Yisus Raglav, and now he was walking normally again. He had to pick up his feet because it wasn't Kfitza Sederek anymore. That's the idea. Derech Agav. Something interesting I thought of this week, based on something we said earlier a couple of weeks ago in the Shir, right? When I saw this Rashi, it rang a bell. Okay, just to refresh your memories very quickly, right? We spoke about the concept of Kfitza Sederek and Parshas Chayisara with Eliezer. Right? We said that Kfitza Sederek there's a shame of Kfitza Sederek, and that's a shame of Aleph Hey Vav Hey. And Avram gave Eliezer the shame. And we mentioned, it says over there, then Rashi brings it down, that he, when Eliezer went, it says, Kaftalo Ha'aretz, right? That he had Kfitza Sederek. We pointed out that Eliezer used the shame of Aleph Vavhe not in order, right? And we said, what's the difference? That if a person uses the name of the Kfitza Sederek in order, then the person jumps to his destination. However, if he uses it out of order, then the destination comes to him. And we pointed out that Eliezer wanted to go to where he was going to, but he had a problem because it was the first day of Yontov, Sukkos. So he couldn't leave the Tchum. So therefore it says, V'kafza lo ha'aretz means that it came to him. He couldn't go there. He couldn't move. He couldn't leave the tomb. So therefore, kafza lo ha'aretz, the aretz came to him. We pointed out that's the lashon of kafza lo ha'aretz, that not you going to that place, but it's the other way around, the place coming to you. Okay. So here Rashi's using the same lashon again. Once again, we have here with Yaakov Avinu, it says, kafza lo ha'aretz, which would mean, based on what we said, that not the Yaakov went to the destination quickly, but the place he's going to, came to him. Why? What's the significance over here? So let's say, very simple. The Yaakov Avinu, we said, was going, why, to Haran? Because of the mitzvah kibud av aim. The Gemara in Chulin says, what happened? The Gemara says, relates, so Yaakov Avinu was going, he got all the way to Haran, where he was going to, and then he said, oi, how could it be, says he, just it hit him, that he had passed, he said, I passed the makom that my forefathers davened at, and I didn't daven there. How could I have just passed the makom of a holy place and didn't daven where my forefathers had davened? And then Hashem was kafzalo aretz. So I want to say, very simple. The Yaakov Avinu was going again to Haran with kibud av aim. So he had to do the mitzvah, he can't do other things. But Meili got to Haran. He said, oh, I missed the place. I could have davened there and I didn't there. But he was not allowed to go back. Why? Because how can he go back? He's a mitzvah kibud av aim to go to Haran and get married. He can't go start walking backwards now and going. Bishlamahi. he went on the way to Yeshiva Shem Eira to learn. So they say his parents wanted him to do that, or Talmud Torah is Doche Kibud Aveim, that's fine. But here, he got the Charan, ready to go, ready to get married, you know, find a Shidduch. What right does he have to go back now to Har Moriah and Davin? He's Osik and Kibud Aveim. He can't go back. So he wanted to, but he couldn't. He was stuck. So therefore, what did Hashem do? He said, fine, Yaakov, don't worry. You don't have to go anywhere. Kafza lo ha'aretz. You can stay where you are, and I'll bring the land to you. So you don't have to leave. You don't have to go back. I'll bring it to you. That's where, here again, it's kafza lo ha'aretz. And I found a remez to this in the actual dream. Right? After, when he had the dream, Hashem said, and then Hashem said to Yaakov, and don't worry, I'm going to bring you back to this land. One of the Rashi Tevas, Vashivosicha El Hamazot, Vav Aleph Hey Hey. That's the shame of the Kvitzas Aderech out of order. So Hashem, as he was Merami, he says, let's just like, okay, you got the Quran, but you came back over here with Kvitzas Aderech. Out of order means the Kalan came to you. Don't worry, you're going to end up going to Haram, but you're going to come back to this place. So here is a hint that the Kvitzas Aderech in the out of order in the words that Hashem told him and his dream. Okay, let us continue. Kaftes Pasuk Zayin. So Yaakov Avinu, he comes to the Be'er Basadan, there's Shloshayad Reitzon, Ravtsim, etc. And the pasuk says that Yaakov told the people, "Vayomer hein od hayom gadol lo eis hayasef amikne hashku hatzon lechuru." He said, "What are you doing sitting here? It's still light outside, middle of the day, or whatever. What are you doing hanging around here? You should be working and taking your tzon out." So they said, "Okay, it's a problem with the getting the water, etc." But the question is asked, what were they doing there? Why were they just hanging around in the middle of the day instead of being out with the sheep? So the Avnei Shoam says, very nice. He says, what happened the day before? The day before, Yaakov Avinu had his dream. How did he have his dream? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yaakov to fall asleep to give him this dream. So what did he do? Yaakov's not going to take a nap in the middle of the day. So what did Hashem do? He brought the sun down. Shkiyat HaChama, early sunset. Right, so the Yaakov would fall asleep, and then he would give him his dream. So what happened? The day before, the sun set early. So these shepherds were with their sheep, and all of a sudden, boom! All of a sudden, it became dark. And I said, oh no, how are we going to gather in our sheep and then pitch dark? It was very hard, it was very difficult. But okay, whatever, they did what they could do, they got their sheep, and that was the night before when Hashem brought the sun down. Mimele, here's the next day, the shepherds are starting to say, who knows, maybe it's going to happen today again. So let's not bring in our sheep last minute, like we usually do just before sunset. We'll bring it in now, early, because maybe it's going to have another early Shkiyat HaChama. It reminds me of the joke. I have to understand a little Hebrew for the joke, but there was once a guy was at the beach, and he was sitting on the shore, and all of a sudden he looks out and he sees his mother-in-law was drowning. He looks at his mother. He goes, "Oh my gosh!" He jumps up, he grabs his siddur and starts davening mincha. Somebody says, "What are you doing? Your mother-in-law is drowning. What are you doing, davening mincha?" He says, "I only know what says in the Shulchan Aruch. It says that a person has to daven mincha before shkiyat hachama, for the sinking of the mother-in-law." Same words. Okay. Anyways, yeah. Per kaftes pasuk yud zayin. Ve'ene le'a rachos rachel haisa yifas toar vifas mareh. So Leah's eyes were soft, literally, meaning, says Rashi, Haita sura lalot begoralo shel Esav. Uboche. And Leah thought she was going to fall to Esav, so she was crying a lot. Shayu hakolomrim shnei banim lerivka ushtei banot lelavan hagdola legadol vaktadan lekatan. So she thought that two brothers, two sisters, and there's Esav and Yaakov and Rachel and Leah, and she was the older one. She was going to go love the older brother, which is Esav. She was crying, and as a result, it affected her appearance. She didn't look too good because of her crying so much. Now, very interesting. There's a Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that there were seven neviot, seven prophetesses. Okay, one of them were Sarah. Okay, Sarah was one of the prophets. Now the Gemara says, how do we know? How do we know that Sarah was a prophetess? So Gemara says because her name is Sarah, but she was also called Yiska. Why Yiska? One pshat is Shesachta Baruch HaKodesh. That's the Ruach HaKodesh. And Davar Acher, another pshat is Hakol Sochin BeYafyeha, because everybody gazes at her beauty. That's the Gemara. So the Pnimi Yekarim asked the obvious question. I can understand the first pshat. How do we see that she was a prophetess? Because it says Yiska is just Ruach HaKodesh, prophetess. Fine. But the second pshat that says that she was called Yiska because of her beauty, what does that have to do with being a Nevi'ah? Well, because you only have to be gorgeous to be a Nevi'ah. Well, she was a prophetess. Why? Because everybody looked at her beauty. What's the connection? She says, very nice, that in the past, we have another similar situation as we have over here with Rachel and Leah and with Esav and Yaakov. What? Abraham had a brother, Nachor. And there were two sisters. Who are the two sisters? Milcah and Sarah, Yiska. Right? So we had a similar situation where we had two brothers, an older and younger sister. So again, the older to the older, the younger to the younger. Therefore, it really should have been that Sarah should have married the older brother, which was who? Nachor. So, instead of Avraham. Now, that being the case, it should be that just like Leah cried, so Sarah also should have cried. Right? She's also been crying that she's not going to end up marrying Avraham. She's going to end up marrying Nachor. Just like Leah cried, she's going to marry Esau. So she should have cried and been ugly from crying so much. But she didn't cry. Why didn't she cry? Must be that she had Ruach HaKodesh, that she knew, I'm going to go to Avraham. I don't care, older, younger. I'm going to Avraham. I know that, Ruach HaKodesh. I know that. But Mele, she didn't cry. Mele, she didn't cry. She didn't become ugly. She stayed with her beauty. So Mele, the fact that Sarah was beautiful, that's a siman, that's a sign, it says the Pnimi Karim, that Sarah was a prophetess. Because otherwise she would have been crying and been ugly, like lost her beauty, like Leah did from crying so much. The fact that she didn't cry must be that she had Ruach HaKodesh, she knew she was going to fall to Avraham. Pasuk says, when Leah had Yehuda, it says, Vetomer, Hapam Odes Hashem, Alkein Karashimo Yehuda. She says, now I'm going to thank Hashem, and therefore he was called Yehuda from the word Hoda'ah, thanks. Now, is a very difficult Gemara in Bracha, Stav Zayin, on the base. It says, Lo haya Adam shehoda l'Hashem, ad sheba Leah v'hodata. There was nobody that gave thanks to Hashem until Leah came on the scene. Finally, somebody's giving thanks over here. She gave thanks to Hashem and named him Yehuda. Oh, nobody thanked Hashem. Ask the Ksav Sofer, obvious question. Nobody gave thanks. What, Avraham Binu? No thanks to Hashem. Yitzhak? No thanks to Hashem. Until Leah came on the scene, first person to give thanks to Hashem. Very hard to hear. What, all our Avos, all the Nisim Niflaas Hashem did, they never thanked Hashem. We saw they did. They made Mizbachot to Hashem. We saw they did. Well, what's going on over here? So he answers based on another Gemara, which is also difficult to understand. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yuches, says, Hakore Halal B'chol Yom Hare Zeh Mecharef U'Megadef. So somebody who says Halal, reads Halal every day, is considered somebody who's like blaspheming Hashem. I mean, what's that supposed to mean? Okay, maybe you shouldn't say it. Halal every day, I can understand. But I could echach, you're like, you're cursing Chas V'Shalom Hashem because you're saying Halal, you're just praising Hashem. What's going on? So he explains like this. He says that the way people are, unfortunately, is that when do they really thank Hashem? They thank Hashem when like a supernatural, miracle happens, right? Wow, something out of the norm. Then, oh, wow, you can see out Hashem, and they thank Hashem. But for the everyday things, people unfortunately take for granted, and they don't thank Hashem. But they're okay, this is normal, it's normal, it happens every day. Yet Chazal, what do Chazal say? On the Pasuk, Kol Neshama Tehalelka Haleluka, right? That a person has to thank Hashem for Kol Neshima V'Neshima. Every breath a person takes, you have to thank Hashem. Let alone for everything else, every breath. So we may let, he says, somebody who says halal v'choyim, what does that mean? What does it say in halal? That Hashem took us out of Egypt, and you know, miracles for us, parted the sea. Somebody who says halal, meaning that he feels it's only necessary to thank Hashem only for the big things, and doesn't realize that everything's from Hashem, that's like mecharef and megadef. Mimele, since that same thing he says over here with Leah. What do you mean she was the first one to give thanks? Avada, every Yaakov, Avram, Yitzhak, they were all giving thanks, but they gave thanks for the big things, right? The miracle, the thing that Hashem did for them, they gave that. But here we find, what did Leah give thanks for? She had a kid. Okay. What women, the first woman ever have a kid? Is that? No, women give birth, and that's normal. But she realized that such thing is normal. We have to give thanks for everything, everyday things, like having a child, an everyday thing, yeah, but you have to thank Hashem. So when it says she was the first to give thanks, it means to be thank Hashem for the everyday things, not only for the miracles. So it reminds me of a maisa, this guy comes to shul one morning, and has with him some schnapps, you know, some liquor and some lekach, whatever, some cake, whatever. And he says, "I'm making a lachaim after davening." Fine, davening, says, "Well, fine." They finish davening, they're getting together, you know, puts out the schnapps and stuff. And he said, "What are you making lachaim for?" He says, "A miracle happened to me yesterday, and thanks to Hashem, I want to make a lachaim." So he says, "What miracle happened?" He says, "Right outside here, I was coming to shul, I crossed the street, a car hit me, I went flying, and I came out unscathed. Not a scratch on me, nothing. So I want to make a l'chaim, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he did." Fine. Next day, another guy comes into shul, the same bottle, different bottle, but saying also a bottle of schnapps, and some cookies, whatever, says, "L'chaim after davening." L'chaim after davening, said, what's going on? He says, a nace that happened to me this morning. A nace happened. They said they couldn't believe it. Like, how would the chance in the same kehillah, little minion over here, 2 days in a row, you know, nisim? Fine. So after davening, get together, and they said, tell us, so what's l'chaim for? What nace happened to you? He says, what nace happened to me? See the street out there? He said, I was crossing the street this morning, coming to shul, and nothing happened to me. Thanks. Bye. We always big things. Oh, nisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything, we have to be thankful for everything. It says that Leah named her son Yisachar. V'tikra shemo Yisachar. So the Imre Shefer, that's Shlomo Kluger. That's all. He explains the name Yisachar the following way. He says, based on the last Mishnah in Shas, in Tzinuktzin, the Mishnah says over there that Atid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lahanchi, L'chol Tzadik V'Tzadik, Shai Olamos. That in the future, Hashem's going to give to each and every Tzadik 310 worlds. So, of course, the Mephoshim, oh, this guy, what's this 310? It's a weird number, you know, like 100 there. What's 310? Shai Olamos, Yud Shin, right? Shai Olamos. What's 310? Like, what's 310? So he wants to explain the following. Says that how many mitzvahs are there? 613, right? 613. However, besides the 613 mitzvahs deraisa, so there's also seven mitzvahs derabanan. What are the seven mitzvahs derabanan? It's hinted to in the Rosh Tevas of Be'anan Hacham, right? What's base is brachas, ayin is erevin, nun is netilas yadayim, nun is ner Shabbos and Yontav. Hey is Hallel, Ches is Hanukkah, and Mem is Megillah. So those are seven different sheets is what they are, but point to one, that's seven mitzvahs. So altogether we have 620. 613 plus 7, 620. Now, person has all the mitzvahs, he gets for each one a world. 600, that would be 620 worlds. However, it's hard for a person to do it by himself, so he needs help. Where do we see this? Yisachar and Zulun, right? Yisachar is Osik in the learning and whatever. But he gets help from Zavulun. So therefore, it's not right that Yisachar should get all the Yisachar, all the 620 himself, because he gets help from Zavulun, who supports him. So therefore, they should split. What's half of 620? 310. Shai Olamos. Memele, 310 to Yisachar, 310 to Zavulun. And therefore, that's why it says in the Maimer, Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give L'chol Tzadik V'Tzadik. I say Tzadik V'Tzadik. Let's say L'chol Tzadik, Shai Olamos. No, L'chol Tzadik V'Tzadik, each Tzadik means Yisachar and Zavulun, 310. They each get 310, and only together is 620. And Mele, that's what Leah saw, that her son is going to be this Yisachar, and it's going to be partnership with Zevulun. So therefore, what did she name him? Yisachar. How do you spell Yisachar? Yud, Shin, Shin, Chafresh, which can be separated, Yesh, Yud, Shin, Schar. Yud, Shin is 310. Schar of 310, that she saw that she's going to have a partner of Zevulun, so he's going to get half, 310, so therefore Yisachar is Yisachar. I also want to touch up the Gemara that says that Eselo Ezer Kenegdo, Pasuk said, right? That Hashem said, I don't know, I'm going to Ezer Kenegdo. So the Gemara asks, funny Lashon, right? Hashem's going to, it was fine for Adam, and Ezer means a help, and Kenegdo means to Kenegdo, to go against. So what is it? The Gemara asks, is it Ezer or is it Kenegdo? So according to this, it's very good. Why? Because just like Yisachar Zvulun, also husband and wife is the same type of a thing. The husband's there learning whatever, and the wife supports him, right? Gives the wherewithal for him to sit and learn. So Mela, he doesn't get all the schar himself, he has to split it with his wife. So therefore, she's an Azer, but she's Kenegdo. She's an Azer to help him learn, but she's Kenegdo because she's taking away half of his schar. Okay. We're on the topic of Yisachar, so it's a very interesting name. Why? Because you don't say it as it's written, right? It's written Yud Shin Shin or two Sin Sin or whatever, but we don't pronounce one of them. We don't say Yisachar. We call it Yisachar as if there's only one. One of the Sins are silent. It's very strange. Or why is that the case? So the Das Akenemi Balei Tosa says that the two sheens as a remez, one when Leah said, I'm going to call him Yisachar. Why? Because Nasan Elokim Schari. It was a very nice thing. You know, Hashem gave me my schar, and therefore I'm going to call him Yisachar. Fine. However, there's another scene over there, and what is that she said earlier? She said, she Sachar Secharticha Bedudei Beneich, right? She said that she wanted to, she had to get, she took the Dudaim that were given to her, and she gave them to Rachel so she could, buy the husband to come to her that night. So that's not such a nice thing, okay? But it's also remnants of Sachar Secharticha with the other scene. So since that's not such a nice thing, that scene is silent. And the first one of Natan Elokim Schari, that's a nice thing. So therefore, one of the scenes is loud and one is quiet. The Rabbi Yaakov Abu Chatzera says different. He says that when a person learns Torah, okay, he gets schar in this world and the next world. Why? Because we say in Elu Dvarim Shalem Shir, and then we say Elu Dvarim Shadam Ochel Perosem Balam Hazeh, the Karen Kayam is Olam Abba. And what is the last thing? Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam. So learning Torah, you get schar in this world and you get schar in the next world for Talmud Torah. So Mimele, what's the difference though? Schar in this world you can see, you can feel, it's schar in this world. Schar in the next world is hidden, you don't see it. Mimele, Yisachar is doubled, it's the double Sachar. Right, the two scenes is it refers to Schar Olam Hazeh and Schar Olam Haba. But since only one of them is here, we can feel, therefore only one of them we say. The other one is silent because that's Schar and Olam Haba, that's silent. Shvi al Zoyche to all the Schar, for all the Amelis that we're putting in, and Hashem should see our efforts and crown us with the coming Abiyas Mashiach Tzinkenu B'mehirah B'yameinu.